I want to share something with you. I've gotten so many notes and letters and emails and asking me questions, and so I'm going to just take a moment here and see if I can answer some of these. So let's, Karen, I'm sorry. I'm throwing a curve at her. But let me have you turn for just a moment to the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. Isaiah chapter 26. And I want to read to you a couple of verses. And the question was asked if the verse that I'm going to share with you, if that verse is pertaining to right now, to today, to what we are experiencing here. And so I want you to look at Isaiah 26, or 26, and I want you to notice a couple of things. First of all, look, if you will, at verse 3. All right, verse 3. Now, as Isaiah is writing this, he is encouraging us to have confidence and trust in God. He says in verse 3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." And I have shared with you before, I think I preached from this verse a couple of years ago, and the literal Hebrew on this verse, I learned this in that class that I took. The literal Hebrew says here, "Thou wilt keep him in peace, peace." All right, so double peace. When you have the word peace, peace together in Hebrew, that's that is peace beyond comprehension, peace beyond your ability to grasp. It is just perfect peace. And God says here, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee." Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Now look at verse 4. "Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength." All right, so in the Lord Jehovah, in Jehovah God, the God of the covenant, Jehovah. "For in the Lord," notice that, capital L, capital O, capital D, capital R, capital D, that's God's covenant name. And then he calls him Jehovah, all right, his covenant name, the Lord Jehovah. And the verse says that we're to trust in the Lord forever because the Lord is everlasting strength. In the Lord is where we find our strength. And I think it's vital that we realize that our strength today is in the Lord. It is not in this task force that President Trump has put together. It's not in Annapolis and Governor Hogan and his staff, although I'm sure that they're doing a fine job and doing the best they can for the citizens of the state and of the country. But as a believer, our trust is to be in the Lord. All right, now look down at verse 12. While we're trusting in the Lord, look at verse 12. He says, "Lord," and again, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, the God of the covenant, "Lord, thou wilt ordain peace for us." Now, I checked on that word ordain, and you and I would say, if we were speaking this sentence today, we would say, "Lord, thou wilt plan peace for us. For thou hast wrought all our works in us. All right, verse 13. O Lord our God, other lords beside thee have had dominion over us, but by thee only will we make mention of thy name. All right, read down now to verse 15. Thou hast increased the nation. What nation? Israel. Thou hast increased the nation, O Lord. Thou hast increased the nation. Thou art glorified. Thou hast removed it far from or unto all the ends of the earth. Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer when thy chastening was upon them. Now, you understand that verse, certainly. We find people doing that today. When they get into trouble, that's when they start praying. They get real spiritual all of a sudden. You'll notice years go by, and then somebody will come through the door that you hadn't seen in 20 years. And then, how you doing? And then they tell you this terrible, sad story, and they're coming to the church to get a hold of God and let God help them through their trouble. All right, so that's what verse 16 is saying. And then verse 17, like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. Now, I want you to notice that in verse 16 and 17, 18, 19, all these verses are speaking prophetically. All right, they were spoken during the time of Isaiah the prophet, but they are a prophecy. And what they are prophesying is the last days, the end of times, the last days on this planet. Okay, they are prophesying the day of the Lord, as it is called in the Bible. And speaking, Isaiah is speaking prophetically, but he's speaking as though this has already happened. All right, you'll notice that. He says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. So that's, he's speaking as though it has already happened, but it has not happened yet. The Jews have not come back to God. They're still blinded today and unable to see the truth as a people. Okay, but look at verse, go down to verse 20. And here's the verse that that was in the letter that I got. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, Judy Nelson asked this. And she said, Pastor, verse 20. Can you explain that? Well, look at it. Come, my people, enter thou into thy chambers. Your chamber would be like your safety place, your home, if you will. Enter thou into thy chambers and shut thy doors about thee. Hide thyself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. In other words, until the wrath that God is pouring out is completed. Now, the question was, is that for today? Well, I think you can apply that to today. And the reason I say that is because it certainly is no mistake that this virus has attacked our world. God knew what was coming. God knew that this was going to happen. All right, so come, my people. This, I think, is talking to Israel, to the Jews, and it has to do with the tribulation period when come back to the Lord after the midway point of the tribulation period, and they will be hiding from the Antichrist. They will be hiding from those that would kill them. And he says, hide thyself as it were for a little moment. Now, you will also remember that during the tribulation period, the Jews are going to be led by the Lord down to the mountains, down to we think Petra, where it's desert, but yet it's mountainous, and there's only one way in and one way out. And so the Jews will go there during the latter half of the tribulation period, and God will hide them. God will protect them. And so look at verse 21. For behold, the Lord cometh out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. Could that be what is happening now? Could this be the wrath and the judgment of God upon this earth because of the sin of this world? Well, I have no doubt that it is. But I think that this passage of Scripture is specifically a reference to the tribulation period and is a prophecy about the Jews, about the children of Israel. But look what God says here. For behold, verse 21, the Lord cometh out of his place, that's heaven, that's the second coming, if you will. The Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth also shall disclose her blood and shall no more cover her slain. So this, I think, is a prophecy dealing with the second part of the tribulation period. But isn't it ironic that God says in verse 20, these words about go into your house and shut the doors and stay there, shut the doors about thee, stay there, in other words, and hide yourself as it were for a little moment until the indignation be overpassed. Folks, I'm going to be real honest with you. I think the Lord is up to something here. I don't know exactly what it is. I haven't had any visions or any dreams or anything like that, but I certainly do think that the Lord is trying to get a point across, a message across, not just to America, but to the whole world. Folks, this thing is real. And people are getting this virus, and some it has not affected them. They continue to go about their way and their day. They don't even know they've got it. But there are others that get it, and when they do, they get deathly ill. And thousands now have across the world lost their lives. So we need to pray to the Lord to have mercy and to bless and to help us. And I say it again, pray that the Lord will put a hedge around you and your family and the family of the Church of the Open Door and keep all of us from getting this virus. I think it would just be a wonderful testimony if all of us could say that the Lord answered our prayer and put a hedge around the Church of the Open Door. One of our ladies sent me a message this morning, and was relaying a testimony. She said that her microwave oven died, and it didn't have the virus or anything. It just quit. But the virus didn't affect it, but it died. And so she called and ordered a new one. And the guy was supposed to come and bring it. And when he came, or when he was supposed to come, he didn't show up. And so he was supposed to be there, you know, that window they give you from 8 to noon. And so noon passed, and no repairman. So she got on the phone and called, and the man that she spoke with there, I guess, was the office that she spoke to, and the fellow there said, here's what happened. The man that was supposed to bring your microwave and install it, we found out just before the truck was loaded, he was ready to come, but we found out just before he left here to go to your house that he had the virus. And so he was sent home. Now, she was rejoicing, and I don't blame her. Could that have been an answer to the prayer that I have been giving for the last three Sundays and Wednesday nights? You see, we want to pray, folks. It is in times like these when we've got to, verse 4, trust in the Lord. It is in times like these. So let's keep praying and let's keep trusting. Now, is the Lord doing something here? Well, I'm going to tell you, folks, I've said this to you. I know you probably get tired of hearing some of the things that I repeat over and over and over, but the truth of the matter is, and I'll say it again, God never looks over the battlements of heaven to see what's going on and says, whoops, or uh-oh. No, God never does that. God never does that. God knows everything that is happening. He is in complete control. Now, these liberal preachers go around trying to prop God up and make excuses for this and for that, but God doesn't need propped up today. God's in good shape. He knows what he's doing. He's in charge. Nothing happens without God fully aware of what is transpiring. So don't lose faith, don't lose hope, because we read in the Bible that these things are going to come to pass. Now, I want to read to you from Matthew 24 for just a moment. So turn over to Matthew chapter 24 in your Bible, and let me read to you a couple of things. All right, let's begin reading, please, in verse 3. The Bible says, "And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when shall these things be?'" Now, what things? Well, he talked about in verse 2 that the latter part of the verse, second half of the verse, "There shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." Now, that scripture, that prophecy given by the Lord Jesus on the Mount of Olives, that prophecy was fulfilled in 70 A.D. 70 A.D. And there was not one stone left upon another. It was all, the temple was blown to smithereens. I've told you before how that happened. The Palestinians at the time, the Arabs at the time, they loaded the temple with timber, and then they poured an accelerant upon it, and they lit it. They shut all the doors and all the windows, and they walked away. And it sat there and simmered for 2 weeks. And after that 2 week period, it burned up all the oxygen that was inside that massive structure, And when the oxygen was taken out of the temple, it just blew out. That fire had to have oxygen. And so it blew the temple to pieces, and it just blew it all over the place. And if you've gone to Israel with me in the past, you have walked up by the southern stairs over to the western wall, so from the south to the west, and you have looked over in that little ravine that they have dug out, and you have seen the stones from the temple, the ruins from the temple laying there. Some of those stones, as I've told you, are as big as that wall behind our choir loft. All right, so Jesus said that there shall not be left here one stone upon another. So the disciples in verse 3, they said in the last part of the verse, tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign, watch this now, the sign of thy coming and the end of the world? And Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that ye be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Now watch this next phrase. But the end is not yet. The end is not yet. All right, so, well, what else has to happen? Well, in verse 7, he said, for nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, and what's the next word? Pestilences. Do you see that? Pestilences. Do you know what the COVID-19 is? It's a pestilence. It is a pestilence of a biblical nature. And then it says, there shall be famines, and there shall be pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. Now, let me share something with you here. Somebody else sent me this today, and it says that this fellow said, I just discovered something truly disturbing. There are over 100 earthquakes that have occurred in the last 30 days, over 4.0 on the Richter scale, 4.0, that have occurred at exactly 6.2 miles in depth. Now think about that. 100 earthquakes in the last 30 days that have occurred at exactly 6.2 miles below the earth. And the question was, is somebody trying to destroy this earth? And then somebody else got on the internet and looked all these up. And they found out that there was a 4.6 in the Ascension Island region. There was a 4.9 in the Chagos Archipelago. There was, and I could go on and on and on, Port Vila in Vanuatu, and then another one in Vanuatu, then another one in the Greenland Sea, and then another one in Vanuatu. I guess the moral of the story is don't live in Vanuatu, right? Then in Iran on the 3rd of March, and 6.2 miles in depth, every one of them, they're all at the same level. And then there was one in New Zealand. There was another one in Vanuatu, mercy. Peru, and then Burma. And it just keeps going on and on and on, folks. In Guam, I mean, they're basically just described here by name, each and every one of them. And there was one yesterday in, of all places, Idaho, here in America. So notice, there shall be famines and pestilences and earthquakes in diverse places. And when you start seeing this, the Lord said, all these are the beginning of sorrows. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Now, folks, listen, is the Lord doing something? I don't know. I mean, I know he is. I just don't know what he's doing. Could he be coming back right now? Oh, yes, he very well could be a sign of our Lord's soon return. It very well could be. But we've been looking for the Lord to return. All of these things that are mentioned here, they've been going on for many years now. And could this be a direct sign for us? Well, it very well could be. But all I know is this. God's people better be ready. We better be ready, because we very well could be the generation that sees the return of the Lord Jesus. The Bible says in 24 and verse 30, it says, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. So that is the second coming. That is when the Lord returns with us at the end of the tribulation period. And so the Lord says, and he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. Well, we're seeing that right now in our country, aren't we? We're seeing the trees get their buds and get their leaves. And so he said, when you see that, you know that it's summertime is near. You know that it's winter's almost over, spring's almost over, and it's going to get warm. And so in verse 33, he says, so likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Know that it is near. It, what is it? Well, go back, if you will, to verse 3. And at the end of that verse, it says, what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? And so the Lord is describing what this earth will be like in the last days. And he goes on at the end of verse 8 and says, all these things are the beginning of sorrows. And then he talks about how the Jews in verse 9 are going to be hated by all the nations. And they'll be beaten and tortured and slaughtered. And then he talks about the false prophets that will rise. And then he talks about in verse 15 that the Antichrist is going to rise up, the one that was spoken of by Daniel in his book. And so the Lord says, listen, when you start to see all this stuff, then you're going to know that the end is near. And Luke said it this way. He said, when you see all these things, lift up your head. Why? Because your redemption draweth nigh. Your Savior, the one that redeemed you, is getting near. It's getting close. So, folks, we need to realize that the Lord is coming, and this very well could be a wake-up call. I mean, how many has God given us already? But this may very well be the wake-up call for folks to get their hearts ready to meet the Lord. If you look at verse 34 now, look at verse 34. Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." So the Lord Jesus said, look again at verse 34. This is real important. The generation, listen carefully to me now, the generation that sees these signs from verse 2 all the way down to verse 33, the generation that sees these signs will not, that generation is not going to pass away. They're not going to go off the face of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean people aren't going to die. It just means the entire generation that is alive, that sees these signs, that generation will not fade away. They will not pass away. There will not become a whole other new generation. No, this generation that is alive now, who sees these things come to pass, they are going to be the ones that will see the Lord return. So what a promise that is. And folks, I'm telling you, we are here. We are seeing these things happen right before our very eyes. We're seeing famines across the land. We're seeing pestilences, and we're seeing earthquakes everywhere, all over the planet. We're seeing just earthquake after earthquake, and all these earthquakes are ironically, for some strange reason, all at the same depth. I don't know, folks, volcanoes going off all over the world. There was one that just blew in Japan the other day. It's just a constant thing that is seen in our natural world. And so the Lord Jesus said that this generation shall not pass until everything the Lord Jesus said here about his return is fulfilled. Now, one more verse. Look, please, at verse 36. And here in verse 36, the Lord Jesus said, "But of that day and hour," in other words, the day and the hour that the Lord comes back and takes us to be with him in heaven, and then the tribulation period when all these things from verse 10, verse 9 through verse 33, when all these things happen, I mean, when you see all these things happen, then he says that no man knows when that day or when that hour is going to happen. Not even the angels of heaven. Only my Father knows. All right, but look at verse 37. "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." So folks, I'm telling you, we're here. We're here. If this is not the time when the Lord steps out of heaven and the trumpet sounds and the dead in Christ are raised up and we all then follow and go to be with the Lord forever, if this is not that time is getting close. If it's not now, mark it down, it'll be soon, because we're now seeing all these things which are come to pass. And so the Lord says in verse 42 now, "Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come." Verse 44, "Therefore be ye also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh." You see, could it be that we are in the midst of this pestilence. And this pestilence is going to do a whole lot more than just take the lives of 100 to 200,000 people. It's going to do a whole lot more than that. It's already doing it. But one thing it's going to do is it's going to destroy our economy. It's going to destroy the world's economy. It already has started. I mean, the stock market has gone down 10,000 some points just in a 2 week, 3 week period. Everybody is watching their retirement money just go flying out the door. Well, you know, you may not need that retirement money. Wouldn't that be nice? I mean, you may not need it. So don't worry about all that. You say, well, I worry about stuff. Don't worry about that. You got a promise from the Lord that he's going to take care of you regardless. I mean, he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. Don't you think he can provide for you in your retirement? I think he can. Therefore, be also ready, for in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. What you and I ought to be concerned about is not the economy today. Is this the day that the Lord is coming again? Because I'm telling you, folks, the Lord is coming again. He is coming. I hope you're ready. I hope you're ready. I mean, it could be today, it could be tonight, it could be tomorrow, or it could be tomorrow night. But the day of the Lord is at hand. You can be assured of that. I want to challenge you, folks, to read this chapter before you go to bed tonight. Just sit down and read it and get excited. I mean, you know, it doesn't matter to get all excited about doomed things. All right? You see what I mean? They were all excited in verse 1 and 2 about the temple. They were all excited. The disciples looked down upon that temple from the Mount of Olives and they said, wow, look at that, Lord. Isn't that spectacular? Like the Lord didn't know about it? Look at that, Lord. Isn't that something? See all these things? And Jesus looked at them and said, are you kidding me? All these things, they're going to be destroyed. These things aren't important. They're not what's important. What's important is your relationship with the Lord, with me. That's what he's saying. So don't get excited about doomed things. And folks, I'm telling you, this world is doomed. I hate to say it that way, but it's true. This world is doomed. It is awaiting judgment right now. And I think that if anything that we learn from what is happening today, that this is the hand of God, that God is at work here. And I hope with all my being, I hope that you'll read this chapter and not get excited about the doom things, but get excited about the promise. Hey, your Savior is coming again. And it could be today. So I hope you'll get excited about the Lord coming again. Well, I didn't mean to do all that, but I just kind of got led of the Lord on the way over here to do it. I should have written it all out so Karen wouldn't have to struggle interpreting all this, but nonetheless, that's what I felt the Lord wanted me to do. So read Isaiah 26, read Matthew 24, and get excited about the promise that Jesus is coming again. All right, let's close in prayer, and we'll trust the Lord to give us a good week. And folks, please, 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 stay at home if you can. Stay at home. Do your best to stay at home, especially if you have pre-existing conditions. This next couple of weeks are going to be real, real serious here. I hope you're you watched yesterday and you got some idea of the urgency that was being expressed by Trump's team. All right, so let's listen and let's trust the Lord and let's see the Lord do some wonderful things. All right, let's pray. And then a reminder, we'll be back here Sunday morning at 10:45. And I guess you'll, I can't say that because I don't know, but maybe you'll hear this one that I prepared yesterday. But if not, you'll hear something. And so I encourage you to be with us on Sunday. And again, please use the church post office box to send in your tithes and your offerings, if you will. And we would appreciate that so much. And God bless you, folks. Thank you for your patience through all this. I know that this is quite trying for a lot of folks. But even this shall pass away. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God. And we're so thankful that as the people of God, we have promises that we can hang on to. We have the Word of God that is sure and steadfast. And as the Lord Jesus said, heaven and earth will pass away, but my words shall never pass away. And Father, you have very clearly stated in this 24th chapter of Matthew, very clearly stated the plan and how things are going to work. And so, Lord, we anticipate that day when we hear the trumpet sound. Could we be the generation that was mentioned here, that generation that shall not pass until all these things be fulfilled? Well, Father, it's amazing that even on this side of the rapture, we are seeing these things happen. We're seeing the famines. We're seeing the pestilences. We've been seeing them. And Father, we've been seeing the earthquakes. We've been seeing the volcanoes erupting and the earthquakes caused by them, the tsunamis and the taking of life and the wrath that has been turned loose upon whole countries. And Father, I pray that you'll wake us up and turn us back to yourself before we hear that trumpet sound. Send revival to America. And Father, I want to pray once again for the people of the Church the Open Door. And Father, I pray you'll keep your hand upon our folks. Put a hedge around us. Encourage us, lift us up. Help us to not get weary in well-doing and to look to you and trust you for our every need. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen.